Here in studio with the president and co-founder of High Performance Technologies, Mr. Timothy Keenan. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. Welcome, Tim, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you.
High Performance Technologies is based in Reston, Virginia, technology services business, privately owned firm with revenues of nearly $75 million in 2008, over 320 employees, and you primarily service the federal government. So explain what you provide for them.
Well, if you look at the services business, it's kind of high-end technology, mid-technology, and kind of the low-tier sort of stuff. We're at the higher end of technologies. We do a lot of architecture or design work for fairly high-end mission-critical systems. We've designed supercomputer systems for the government. We built the DoD Invention of the Year in 2006, eighth fastest supercomputer in the world. So basically, if there's a high-end problem that needs solved, they kind of call us.
And you have a bachelor's from Ohio State University and an MBA from Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville. Are you a tech guy? Are you a business guy or both?
Yes.
Okay.
I have business degrees, but all my jobs have been in the technical sector. So it's just I have a kind of an analytical mind, so I always ended up in the technology jobs.
And who did you kind of work for and learn from before you got involved with High Performance Technologies?
I went to a company that's part of Lockheed Martin right now and learned from them in the NASA support kind of areas, so building the Landsat-D, which is the thing that does all the geographic imaging that you see in the weather forecasts and such. I also came out of that into the command and control world, which is TRW and places of those natures. So my mentors were all kind of domain people, because I was their counterpart on the technology side.
And you co-founded HPTI in 1991.
Yes.
What made you jump from being an employee to, hey, I can do this myself?
Well, I wouldn't say as much as jumped as pushed, because my boss, myself, and seven other executives were fired.
Which turned out to be the best firing
ever.
Yes,
it was actually very good. And actually, we were fired after winning $750 million of jobs that year. The owner basically wanted to sell out and wanted our stock options back. Not terribly ethical, but, you know, that's what he decided to do. But it did force us.
And so you thought, first you probably thought, man, this stinks. I don't know what to do. Was that day one or was that year one? And then year two was, okay, I'm going to start this.
Well, for the 4 hours after being fired and you packing your boxes, and I had a two-month-old son, and, you know, you're going through all those life things. But the reality is, well, we had just won on a whole bunch of business and knew all those customers and knew we could do that as a team. And since the entire team that I was working with was let go, we went over to my fellow co-founder, Don Fitzpatrick's house. And I must admit, there was a little alcohol involved in the inspiration, but we did have a chat about, well, why can't we do this for ourselves? My partner had this done to him at a previous firm. I had it done to me at a previous firm. So together, we were kind of getting tired of building something to have it taken away. So we agreed that we could try this, and,
It worked out okay.
What
made you realize that you would be good partners?
Well, he's not no longer with us. He's a PhD in math, very, very quantitative sort of person. I was a whole lot more on the strategies and the business understanding. So between us, we got along very, very well. And, you know, in this case of two people that made three, because we were definitely a multiplying effect between each other.
And it's been now about two decades. What's been the toughest part?
Well, the toughest part was in 2003 when my partner was killed in an airplane crash.
Oh, wow.
at Leesburg Airport. He flew those small little planes. And,
sorry.
And he, my general counsel, and my lead accountant were all on that flight. So trying to hold the company together.
Wow. And the other two were injured?
They were all killed.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
And the issue was really taking care of those families with, you know, key man insurances and making sure their finances of them were safe. I couldn't, you know, help them replace a spouse, but I could deal with the finances. So we did that. But, you know, our industry is pretty cutthroat in that when they saw a wounded company, they all tried to descend and buy us and all that stuff. So I had to convince my customers to stay with us. I had to convince my people to stay, that there was a future. And that was a very tough period. But you'll see in our results from 2003 to now, we've tripled. So I didn't lose a single employee for that first year. They all, you know, they wanted to hear what my vision was and where we were going, but they all committed and stayed. So
wow.
So things went
that's
well
tough. From
there. But that was hard.
You know, what's interesting too is I've never heard a CEO tell a story like that. And so there's almost no one to turn to about how to, when all the key players are wiped out in a company, what do you do? On top of that, you're grieving if you're friends with them, yes, in addition to business partners.
They were all long-term friends. And it wasn't, you're not allowed to grieve, okay? Because you have to be solid for your employees, because they're looking to know what they can do going forward, which is if you're not strong, they can't commit their family's life, their mortgages, mm-hmm, et cetera, to you if you're not going to be strong. So you had to stay strong through that period, and I had to grieve later. And it did. It hit me about 6 months after the event when I could just
think about it.
Go have some peace.
And what's been the most surprising part?
Well, surprising part was we had an idea about building a culture that the best technologists wanted to come to, kind of a destination employer, if you will. And we were actually able to pull that off, and we see it now in its fruition. And you know, it was founded on business ethics, it was founded on technical processes, and it was founded on quality delivery to our customers. You know, and this 2009 was like a banner year. We won the American Business Ethics Award for the nation in the mid-size category. We won a Medallion of Excellence for our quality programs from the Senate Productivity Quality. And we also have a CMMI Level 3 rating, which is a service delivery model in the federal space in particular. And each of those three things were our milestones to see whether we were progressing. And we basically hit the top milestone and all in 1 year, so it's a good year.
And you got this thing called the Best Boss Award, the Winning Workplace's Best Boss Award. So, and did that happen post the tragedy with your?
Yeah,
that was recent.
That happened in 2006. So it was 3 years after the tragedy.
What makes you a best boss?
Well, the best boss was a criterion whether you are building a corporate culture in your company that supports your people in their work-life balance, as well as the advancement of their career. So a lot of that award is about your people programs, if you will, in your company, on how you educate them, how you train them, how you make them successful on their jobs versus you being successful. It's how you make other people successful. So in our case, they came and assessed our systems and deemed it best boss.
And I wonder, you referred earlier to having had a bad boss where, mm-hmm, you get fired and a number,
yep,
of other people. Did it, in a way, do you think that was inspiration for you saying, I'm not going to be like that, I'm going to be the best boss?
Absolutely. You can learn more lessons from the negative than necessarily from the positive. The positive we all kind of take, put it in our pocket, say, okay, that's good. The negative you tend to think through, and why did they do that? What's their motivation? So you learn the lesson maybe deeper, I think. And I got to see a really bad boss. So
now we got a Forbes business quote for you. When you cannot make up your mind, and this is from WJ Slim, when you cannot make up your mind which of two evenly balanced courses of action you should take, choose the bolder. When you cannot make up your mind which of two evenly balanced courses of action you should take, choose the bolder. What are your thoughts?
I think you absolutely choose the bolder. There's no downside. We have a saying in our company, it's called, when you run into an obstacle, there's only four choices: go over, under, around, or through. But you never stop in front of it and wait, because in our business, it's all growth oriented. And if you don't keep growing, you lose people. If you don't keep growing, you lose customers. So it's you want to take the bold action. That's what entrepreneurs do.
And you said, I had a question for you. When you first started out, you said you kind of do high tech.
Yeah.
Architectural design, etc. How were you able to be high technology when you first started?
Well,
because the costs of, you know, startup costs, etc.
Well, back to your quote about the bolder action. There were three of us in a basement, and we bid a $10 million government contract, And most people would say we're not qualified for it, but our technical approach was vastly superior to our competitors, which were Unisys, IBM, Cray, at the time when Cray Research was still around, in a meaningful way. We were able to do that, but then the contracting people told us they couldn't award it to a three-person company in a basement. We walked them through using a small business administration program called Certificate of Competency, which basically they bond with you and then present the combined entity to the government. But you have to pass, you know, a financial site survey, a management site survey, a technical site survey. And they came in, you know, in a three-week period, we were more audited than anybody's ever been. So, and awarded the contract. Would that give you the first one? But it was very bold of us to think we could win a job like that. But that's who we were.
So your first client was a $10 million contract.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
It is unusual, but it certainly does fund the rest of your business.
Right, right. So were you so that's interesting. So were you set financially from that point on, or have you gone through a
hard period? Because part of the boldness of our approach was we used a thing called a value engineering change proposal, which is a government entity, which is if you come up with a good idea, the government will split the savings with you. So if you come up with an idea that's going to save $2 million, you get $1 million and they get $1 million. In our case, what we proposed was there's going to be about $8 million of savings, but you can have all eight. So we bought the Air Force Global Weather, which is the weather entity out in Omaha for the Air Force, does all their weather modeling for all the flights that the Air Force takes. We bought a new supercomputer for them under those proceeds in a new architecture. So some people thought we should have pocketed the money. But that customer gave us past performance quals and references for years so that we were able to cover some operating costs but get a past performance, which is in federal contracting. You've got to have somebody that says you're good.
Okay.
And that was what we were buying.
So that was a smart leadership decision you'd say you made.
It was.
Tell me about your leadership philosophy.
My leadership philosophy is do the right thing and do things right. So those things I mentioned earlier, our investment in processes or do the things right. Do the right thing are those ethical things. Our core values was the very first thing we wrote down between my partner and I. What are our core values? What do we believe in? And we've wrote them down, and they're part of our, you know, business philosophy. And everybody that joins our company, everybody that gets promoted, everybody that gets any kind of bonuses, all are about how they adhere to those policies. So what we're trying to do is grow people. So the more we can put them in an environment and support them, better it is.
And since you serve primarily the federal government, the economic climate is, you're not really feeling the effects?
Well, we're not. We're growing about 20% year over year, and our profits up about 30%. But our competitors are down about half, but still on the positive side. So compared to their commercial brethren, the federal marketplace is recession resistant. There's nothing that's recession proof. They're resistant because Mr. Obama's putting stimulus money in while the economy's down, so that money obviously comes somewhat to this economy, to this industry. So we're doing very well.
Actually, it's not only recession resistant, it's almost probably good to be in your space
in terms of
like, because the federal government's increasing spending like crazy.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there's more out there to get.
Yeah.
and I just want to say, you know, thanks for being with us, Tim, and I really appreciate it. And best of luck with that, 20% year-over-year growth?
Yes,
is the goal. All right, good. Well, appreciate it. And best of luck with High Performance Technologies.
Thank you very much.
President and co-founder of High Performance Technologies, Tim Keenan. And I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, here with you. And I encourage you to nominate a leader or leadership company from the D.C. area for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards at leadersportfolio.com. Maybe you think a client is a business that practices awesome leadership skills. Nominate them now. Please do so. We want the best from across the D.C. area. Thanks to our exclusive sponsors. We really appreciate them, these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, it's a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the leadership community, please consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We really appreciate it. We like that our sponsors care about leadership as much as we do, as much as our listeners do. I want to thank our senior producer, Dr. Ohlers, the production team, Miguel, Brian, Sonia, Jennifer, Allison, and Christine. Makeup hair by Charisma White, theme by CSH Entertainment. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Rebecca Blacksmith asking you, what's in your portfolio?